Okay, this is the last segment. I'm going to talk just a little bit about Zion. It's interesting, in the predictions of the Golden Age in the Bible, it says man shall live to be the age of a tree. How long does a tree live to be? Yeah, up to a thousand years. So that would be a nice prophecy to have fulfilled, that we could live to be the age of a tree. And matter of fact, there was this on Coast to Coast, there was this hypnotist on there that had taken thousands of people back into past lives, and she did a lot of exploring about ancient history through asking people that she'd hypnotized to take them back. And she told a pretty fascinating story, one I hadn't heard before. She said that in the beginning, man, the creators designed man to live to be pretty much the age of a tree, 1,000 years or so. And they were planning like a golden age for man, where they would live in like a paradise, like Eden, just like the Bible tells us that the first man was in a paradise. And she says that what happened was a meteor hit the earth that the masters were not expecting. And this meteor had germs in it. And before that time, it says there was not germs, destructive germs, upon the earth. And she says this meteor hit the earth and these destructive germs began to spread and cause disease. And she says, so the lifespan of man went from around 1,000 years down to what we are now from these germs from this meteor. I thought, well, that's a fascinating story. It's one I haven't heard before. You know, I've heard a lot of different things about the what caused everything to be the way it was. And something I haven't looked into yet, but she said that the DNA of germs is different than the DNA of everything else. She says, if we go to almost all the life forms on Earth, DNA is about, 95% or more similar, except for certain types of bacteria. They have totally different DNA. And
bacteria, viruses? You know.
Well, she said bacteria, so could be viruses too. I don't know. Yeah. So that's an interesting theory, but she got it by claimed to got it by exploring people's past lives and getting...
Hey, Larry.
Well, Larry, where you been, man? We've been waiting for you.
Hey,
dude.
Yeah, you can use some help.
Yeah, now we have our entertainment factor just walked in. Really? Yeah. Has anyone heard that the DNA is different in bacteria? Have you ever heard that?
I think you have to go as primitive as bacteria before you start seeing other differences, right?
Yeah, it's something. I was going to look into that. I just heard it the other day, and I was going to check it out, but I haven't got around to it. But that would be interesting if that's true, yeah.
So you're saying that they had this cool design where we come down, we live for 1,000 years, you know, in this...
Yeah, and we kind of enjoy ourselves, perfect ourselves. And
then it didn't happen because of some fluke in the universe. We basically got screwed.
Yeah, right, right.
Like
right, and matter of fact, what she said, this advanced race that were the creators that were designing everything, she says that after this meteor hit and then screwed everything up, they were going to bag the whole Earth experiment. And just leave it. And then, she said they had a big discussion whether or not they were going to try to salvage it or not. And then after much debate, they decided to try to salvage planet Earth. And this is where the salvation thing evidently came in. What say?
That's the
whole theory
that was first espoused in
Zechariah Sitchin's
books.
Zechariah Sitchin espoused that theory? Huh.
Yeah, all his.
I'm going to read a chapter from the Bible that's pretty interesting about Zion. Zion, as we said, is going to eventually be the ideal society, is one of the names. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, and henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and unclean. Now, I don't know how many of you have read Isaiah, but Isaiah spake very symbolically. And Jerusalem doesn't necessarily stand for the old Jerusalem. A lot of the things in here can be applied to our day or to the various cycles. The cycles in history repeat again and again. And maybe 1,000, 2,000 years from now, this very same verse will be applicable to that generation. Shake thyself from the dust. Arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. In other words, he's speaking about the captivity of Jerusalem and Zion, that they're being bound down. They're not manifesting because of chains that are keeping them from growing and developing the way that they should. For thus saith the Lord, you have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be, but ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now, what's he talking about here? He's saying, well, you know, everybody's seen the movie Ten Commandments. The Israelites were sold into slavery. They were oppressed by the Assyrian or the Egyptians. And he says, now in past times, you were slaves because you were official, literal slaves of the Egyptians who oppressed you. Okay? We can understand that, he says, pretty much. But then he says, now therefore, and keep in mind that he's speaking to a future age here. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people are taken away for naught, then they that rule over them make them to howl. Now what age does that remind you of? People howled during George Bush, and people are howling during Obama. People are howling all the time about those who rule over them, aren't they? Okay, let's read that again. And oh, now what do I have here? In the past, they were sold into slavery. The lights of the earth were. Okay, the Israelites were looked on as the greatest lights upon the earth. And they went into slavery. But now, look what I have here. My people are taken away for naught. In other words, they're sold into slavery, but nobody got any money for the sale. We're taken into slavery, and in past ages, slaves were bought and sold. But he's talking about a future age where the slaves are put into slavery and nobody paid for them. Right. Good point. And they that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name is continually every day blasphemed. Now what does it mean to blaspheme the name of God? It's blasphemy. It's talked about in the 13th chapter of Revelations, where it talks about the beast. And it talks about the beast blasphemes the name of God. And if you've read my a treatise on this, it explains that the true beast is that which takes the place of God. So if you have to go to a priest to talk to God, where the priest takes the place of God, the priest is occupying the place of the beast. And the names of blasphemy, it says the beast has within it the names of blasphemy. And the names of blasphemy are names like Reverend, Father, names that people in authority insist they be called. And if you're a doctor and insist on being called a doctor, that's a pattern after the beast also. You know, but if you're a doctor and you just call doctor, you know, just because that's what you are, that's different. But if it's like you insist on being called doctor, or who was a barber boxer and says, call me senator, sir. Yeah, who was it that did that?
You didn't call him a general.
Yeah.
What are the repercussions of that? Like, reverend taking the place of God or trying to have us speak through.
Okay, what it does, because this power is almost universal. It says that the power of the beast pretty much circumscribes the whole earth and affects everybody. And we can't do anything without the power of the beast. And the power of the beast takes the place of the God within. Now, after the Revelations 13, you have Revelations 14. The first verse talks about the 144,000 that are freed from the beast. And unlike the ones that are follow the beast, they have the mark of the beast on the right hand or the forehead, symbolizing that they can't have their own thoughts. They can only think what they've been told to think by some authority. And the right hand symbolizing labor, showing that they can only work at approved labor that is approved by some authority. Okay? Now, the ones that are freed from the beast are the 144,000, and instead of the mark on the right hand and the forehead, what do they have in their forehead?
The name of God.
The name of God in their forehead. And where does the enlightened soul look for revelation from God? Right, 23 degrees up and in the forehead. Right, you look within.